So I'd like to give you guys some opportunities to hear a little bit from somebody who went to camp. Kyle's going to come up. I'm going to ask him a couple questions. There it is. There you go. Here's your microphone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. And Kyle, you go to Hazelwood West, correct?
Yes.
And what year will you be?
I will be a junior.
Junior.
This coming year.
Wow. I've known you for a while then.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. So this was your first year at camp. And can you tell me about what you experienced when you got there, like the atmosphere, the feel of camp?
It was awesome because it felt like you could literally walk up to anybody in camp and just have like the best conversation and just like not be blown off like you would here, because people were just so nice there.
When you mean here, you don't mean our church.
No, I mean
okay,
like,
right.
I mean like
right, just clarifying there. You're thinking more like school, just
yeah.
Out and about, okay? Because people here are nice.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That's good. Okay. So, but you experienced something different there at camp. Like everybody was welcoming and friendly from your experience and
yes.
Your encounter. And that was surprising to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to not here, obviously, uh-huh. But in like, Hazelwood, Florissant, this
yeah.
Area.
Yeah.
People are just awful.
Yeah. Can you... Anybody else relate? Anybody else got awful people in their lives? Don't worry, those people are saying the same thing about you right now too, somewhere else. All right, we all need help. We all need help. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you experienced that at camp. That was wonderful. What about the camp staff?
Oh, the staff was amazing. My Bible study leader, Liz, she was just so nice. She was like throughout the entire week. My dorm didn't have trash cans, and so every day I would complain, and she would ask for trash cans. And it ended up being like a thing throughout the week, and it was just the nicest gesture, and it felt like I could walk up to any of the staff members and just ask a question, considering it was my first year and I didn't know where anything was. And so I asked a lot of questions where things were, and they were always answered with the utmost kindness.
That's really cool. So the staff are college-age students that spend a summer at that location. The camp we go to is connected with Lifeway, and they rent out other universities around the country. Some of them stay put, some of them travel, and the staff stays at that location or stays with that team. So they're gathered from, I would say, all over the place, but ours were predominantly from the South. You know, so there was one person from North Ohio, and I'm like, well, we'll count it as North for now. But that's the staff you're referring to.
Yes.
That was all college age students. So it's a really wonderful thing. One of the things you enjoyed was the track time too. Tell
yes.
us a little bit about that.
So one of the tracks that I took, it was the man track, and it was basically about how to be a better man spiritually. And one thing that I took into serious note was Andrew, the track leader, he went over how to treat a woman spiritually, and I took that into serious note because you don't see that at all here. Like, it's really bad here.
Yeah, and if anybody's paying attention to the news, we see that this is an area that needs to be addressed, you know, for sure. So that's good that you got that. And then did you take another track?
Yeah, I took another track, which was bubble soccer. And
That's in Leviticus, if anybody didn't know where that came from. All right, most people skip right over that, but you were digging deep.
When we were finished, we were in these, we were in these giant bubbles that had straps, and we got to run at each other while playing soccer, and it just bounced off everybody. And afterwards, the track leader, I can't remember her name, but she asked us what it was like the difficulties in doing it, and after we were finished... saying the difficulties, she related that to difficulties in our, what we called the mission, which was spreading the word of God.
So even though you had a fun time afterwards, there was a moment where you're like, whoa, there's something more here.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's cool, and that that impacted you. At the end of the day, we would have times to be together, just our church group. The camp had 500 people there from all over, but there was just a time for us to be together as a church group. And you really enjoyed that time. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened during that time?
What I feel like that time was for was to reflect on the day that you had and to maybe improve on how you could help one another in stepping out of your comfort zone, or meeting new people and stuff like that, or in general just talking about your day and just having fun. And I feel like it brought the entire youth group a little bit closer together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say in some senses a lot closer together, you know, for that too. So so we had a good time. You had a good time? Would you like to go back?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I think you were one of the people who said you didn't want to leave.
I did not want to leave at all.
So that's just a great experience. We're so glad that you got to come. Thanks for sharing with us this morning.
And I've got a whole notebook of stuff to talk about as well if you want to come back and talk to me as well. So.
We did have a wonderful time, and not only do we want to share stories, but we want to show a video, too, so you can get to see a little bit of what was going on. So let's go ahead and play that. So if you had a bulletin handed to you, you can get out the pink sheet and you'll see the days, the themes for the days that we talked about there. It was an incredible camp. And I thank the leaders. If you see an adult with one of these shirts on, make sure to thank them. They did so much. I mean, let's just thank you. Thank you guys so much. There's no way that camp would have happened without them, and there's no way we would have experienced the same experiences we had without them. So thank you, thank you. Thank you, church, for encouraging us and being part of our fundraisers and praying for us and just listening to our stories. It's so good to be part of a church that supports all ages so well. So we thank you for that. And there were lots of good things. Make sure you talk with the students. We had three people say they wanted to put their faith in Christ, so we're excited about that, to see them growing in their faith. It was very, very exciting. The theme for the week was the mission. And it was based on this verse in Acts 1:8. And it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." So our camp pastor is like a wannabe rapper, except he's really good, so I don't know how wannabe-ish he is. And he helps us to memorize verses by putting them to this little rhythm. And I can't do it, so I don't, you know. But he can, and he did, and that's what you started hearing. It just really gets stuck into your brain. And the mission has to do with this, is being witnesses to the people, to the nations, near and far. And that's how the gospel spreads. So that's what we focused on. I'm going to ask Sarah to come up and talk to us about her experiences.
Here you are.
Hi. I'm Sarah. I'm going into 11th grade, and this is my second year at Fuge. Just a little background. Anyways. So this year at Fuge Camp, our topic was the mission, as Jim just said. We learned that our mission as a Christian is to ultimately spread the gospel. We learned ways to do this, including leading by setting an example, by showing others that you love Jesus through your actions. Our camp pastor, Landon Dowen, explained that we should not be afraid of making mistakes during our walk with Christ. He explained that it's not about being perfect in our examples, because Jesus had already done that, but by persevering and making progress. It's not about the mistake or sin you made or did, but how you respond to it and repent to God. See, Christ already took our sin. One way I learned of it is as a bee. So yeah. So sin's a bumblebee, and if you know anything about bees, they can only sting once in their lifetime, and then they're harmless. They can't go back and sting you. So Jesus basically grabbed that sin as a bumblebee and held it in his hand until it stung him. So then whenever he released it back, the only thing the bee can do is swarm around us and basically try to scare us and act all tough. But if you would just listen to Jesus, you would know that you're safe, because he already took that sin. He already took that stinger for us. So all that bee can do over us is scare us. But if you listen to Jesus, you'd know that you're safe, and to trust in him and just trust in his plan for you. And that's all about what the mission is. So, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. So the mission is, am I good here? There we go, now I'm back. The mission is about sharing the gospel. And one of the things that I think that the camp did a really good job with is not jumping ahead and not saying, okay, now let's just talk about sharing the mission. But we need to make sure that we know what the gospel is. Because this is really interesting. He talked about how sometimes you can get information, but it gets mixed up. He used an illustration like, have you ever had, you told somebody an order at McDonald's, but they got their order wrong. You know, and you need to make sure that you're clear on what you're saying. Because it's one thing to say one thing, but you want to make sure that people hear what you're saying. Because miscommunication abounds. So we want to be clear on what the gospel is. And it's a good thing to do, and hopefully this will sound not new, but if you haven't been in church for a while, or if you haven't studied the Bible on your own, then you might not think about it this way, but this should be a refresher for those of us that are Christians, is that the gospel is the good news about Jesus. The gospel is the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done. Here's what it is. It's very hard. Sometimes we get into the details and we can get off track, but as a big picture, The problem is that we've sinned. We've rebelled against God. That we have said to God, we want to do things our ways. We don't want to do things your way. And when that happens, when sin comes, it separates us from God. And that means that we are not close to him. And since God is life, we are separated. We're left in death. But there's good news, is that God doesn't want us to remain in death. He wants to give us life, spiritual life, eternal life, abundant life. And that's why he sent his son to come to earth. So we need to remember that reconciliation is possible through God, because through faith in Jesus, because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. In our culture, so many things are trying to tell you it's about you. It's about you. It's about who you are and what you have done. But the gospel actually says the opposite. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about what he has done to rescue you, to love you, to see that in your hopelessness, you had no way out. Even on your best day, you cannot repair the relationship with God. It is broken. Humans, people do not have the strength. We don't have the ability to make things right with God. So God saw that and he said, I will share good news with you. I will make the relationship right. I will take the initiative. So God has brought about salvation for us. And I hope you understand that this is about Jesus, but it's not only about Jesus. That God is more than just Jesus, which I don't want to get too much into it, but just listen to this. The Father was involved in salvation. The Father sent the Son. The Son came and lived on earth. He lived a perfect life, fully pleasing to the Father. He died on the cross. When he did that, he took the punishment that we deserve. And then he was raised to life to give everlasting life to anybody who believes and trusts in him. And the Spirit is the one that gives us new life. We need to be reborn in the power of the Spirit. So he gives us new eternal life. So when we place our faith in Jesus, recognizing I can never do anything to fix this relationship, that I deserve punishment, but Jesus has taken that punishment. Jesus has taken the sting of sin on the cross in my place, that I'm forgiven. I'm recreated. I'm made new. I am brought into a good, healthy relationship with the Father as He designed us to be. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And we need to take that news and share it with people, because everybody needs to be in a good relationship with God. And we are all far from Him at some point. So the camp just talked about being on mission, sharing the good news of Jesus. Not because of what we have done, but because how good God is, how loving He is, how gracious He is, how He gives to us freely at His own expense, not because of what we have done. So it's good to tell people about the gospel. And how does that gospel spread out? Well, the camp pastor talked about God's plan. God's people is God's plan. God's people is God's plan. The way that the message is spread, and you can look through the Bible and just look through history, it's from people telling other people about it. God's plan is God's people is God's plan. I have to stop for a moment and say, like, first, do you recognize the good news that you can have a relationship with God by placing your faith in Jesus? Have you done that? Because you can do that whenever. You don't have to pray a special prayer. You believe. You say, Jesus, I trust You. I recognize I need You. I don't know everything about it. From what I know, I'm deciding to love You and to follow You. I'm deciding to believe the truth that You'll connect me with God. If you have more information, want more questions about that, then please come up and talk to me afterwards. But for many of us, we've done that. Maybe you can talk with a friend or somebody else who you know is connected with God and ask them questions. But for most of us that we've already made that decision, the reminder for the rest of this is, are we on mission? How are we doing telling other people about Jesus? And as we talk about it, we're going to see that being on mission is not a checklist. It's actually part of life. And that's the second point that we have, is that we talked about in day two, is that we are to be living on mission. And if you have a Bible, you can open up to Ephesians 4. And we're going to stay there just for a little bit. But Ephesians 4, let me read to you what Paul is writing here. He's writing to a church that has had some difficulties, and he's just trying to explain to them what life is like. What life should be like here on Christ, now that they know Jesus. So verse 20, it says, "But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him. As the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." When we think about living on mission, sometimes we think a lot about the things that we need to do. But one of the things that we need to remember, this is what they talked about at camp too, is that God's plan comes with God's power. We are not just saved and we know Jesus and now we are left on our own and we have to do things on our own. No, God is with us and He is empowering us. And He's not just telling us things that we need to do. He's actually telling us a new way to live. We're becoming new people. Like, look at what it says here in this verse. In verse 25, it says, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and it's corrupt." So we get rid of the old, and what do? In verse 23, we're renewed in the spirit of our minds. We change the way we think. We fundamentally change the way we think. This is part of this recreation of what we have. And to put on the new self. The old self was full of sin, and we were thinking about ourselves. We wanted to build a kingdom, but we wanted to be the king in that kingdom. But when we recognize that that's not going to be the best, that that keeps us far from God, who is life, I mean, just think about all the decisions that you make for yourselves and the disasters that come from them. I mean, that's not a kingdom that anybody wants to live in. Instead, we see all the good decisions that Jesus made, all the things that He tells us is good that brings us life, and we turn to Him and we have a new king, and we follow Him. So we're being fundamentally recreated in the image of Him. Look at this. Our behavior is going to change. I mean, it talks about that in the rest of Ephesians 4 and in chapter 5, but it's not just trying to change our outward behavior. It's talking about getting to the root, heart change, love change. the way we think and see the world. All of that changes when we are filled with the Spirit because we trust in Christ. So we're living by faith in what Jesus has done. We're in a new self, one that's created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We don't hear a lot of things about righteousness and holiness. And when we do, we think more like church stuff. But righteousness and holiness is very important. Jesus was the most righteous person that ever lived. He was the most holy person that ever lived. And he was the most joy-filled, at-peace person that ever lived. So in order to have those joy and peace, we also need to have his righteousness and his holiness. It's very important. But we can't do it on ourselves. But the good thing is that Jesus sent us the Spirit. And the Spirit empowers us to live a life pleasing to God. So that at one point we were helpless. We couldn't obey the way that God wanted us to obey. We couldn't love the way that God wants us to love. We couldn't forgive the way that God wants us to forgive. But now we have the Spirit, so we're empowered to be able to do those things. And we're empowered to share the mission. To go out and share the good news of Jesus. How he has loved us and accepted us and made us new. That in him we are righteous and holy. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. We're going to see a little bit more about how this righteousness and how holiness is important. But sometimes we just get stuck. Life is not easy. We still have things that want to get us off track and keep us away from God. So day three talked about the roadblocks to mission. Things that are preventing us from sharing the good news and actually keeping us from connecting with God himself. So Lily's going to come up and talk to us a little bit about... Woo! She's been cheering all time. We need to cheer for her. She's going to tell us about some of her camp experiences and about day three.
Well, since Sarah gave a little background, I guess I will too. I'm Lily. I go to Orchard Farm, which is in the middle of nowhere. I'm going to be a junior, and this is my fifth year at camp. So trying to tell my experience at camp in this time frame is pretty much impossible. You gain so many memories, convictions, thoughts, feelings. During the week of camp, you also have a lot of moments. Happy moments, sad moments, confusing moments, lots of tired moments. But in the end, you only have one moment that will last forever, and that's your moment. I definitely had that moment. Throughout the week, we learned about the mission. You may think, what the heck, what mission? We aren't in the CIA. We are on a mission for God. We committed to that when we first believed. We studied a lot on Saul's conversion to Paul. He was a murderer, and he hated Christians with everything he had. But all it took was one moment, one blinding light, and that changed Paul's life for the better. Be filled with God's power. Share the gospel, not because you have to or you feel like you're forced to, but because you want to and you feel called. Sharing the gospel would be the biggest battle in your life, so have courage. But just think, we have a sovereign God on your side, so he'll back you up every time. So, people are going to try and shut you down. Paul and Barnabas had just gone into Iconium and shared the gospel. So I'm going to read from Acts 13, 46 through 52. Somewhere. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy for eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and leading the men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went back into Iconium. So that's what we have to do. They went back into the city where they had just persecuted them. If I were them, I would have ran. I would be like, bye, I'm going somewhere else. So one of the themes that we had was roadblocks of the mission. When you're on your walk of faith, sharing the gospel, you're going to have so many roadblocks, it's going to seem impossible. Why even try? That's where we have to look for that blinding light. John 15:18-21 says, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you." Our pastor down in Tennessee, Landon, he was a phenomenal teacher. He told us that the fear of rejection is a major roadblock to the mission. I could not agree more. When I'm at school, that's a major factor that runs through my head. I'm going to be rejected or hated for my love of Jesus. So it kind of backs me down. Landon also said, roadblocks don't stop you. They slow you down. They're not meant to stop you. We are on your highway driving with all those crazy people. You come to roadblocks, and that's just going to challenge you to find another way. It's not meant to stop you. And that's how I view the walk of faith. Roadblocks aren't meant to stop you or me. It's just challenging you to find another way to get over it and move on. Landon said, everybody has roadblocks. And that hit me hard. Because I feel alone. When I go through my roadblocks, I'm like, nobody else has roadblocks. I'm alone. Everybody has a perfect life. But that's not true. Everybody has roadblocks. I have to remember that I'm not alone, and neither are you. All you have to do is think in your head, Jesus loves me perfectly and promised to be with me always. Lies deflect, and remember. There was so much more to that day and the rest of the week. When writing this, it was so hard to condense what I had. I had pages and pages of notes and reminders, and I would love to share with you all. So, like Kyle said, I also have a notebook if you want to hear more. It was a life-changing time for me, and I feel like it was for the rest of the group that went. So if you have kids that are going to be in the youth group or is in the youth group but they don't feel like they want to go, I encourage you to tell them to come, because I guarantee that their life will be changed.
Good job. Good job. I think everybody can identify with the idea of roadblocks. You know, I think about the verse where Jesus says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I identify with that. I relate with that. There's so many times that I want to talk with people about Jesus, but there's something that gets in the way. There's something that's preventing me from doing it. And I look back on those times and I see the opportunities, and I have to just trust God. I have to trust God that He will take care of those moments. I have to trust God that that I didn't blow it and I didn't derail His plan. And that's one of the things that they talked about too, which is really helpful, is that we can get bogged down, we can get discouraged, we can get frustrated, but one of the things that we can remember is that God's plan will not fail. God's plan will not fail. God is sovereign. He has it all under control. It looks like crazy mess to us down here. But God is above all of that, and He sees and understands. He knows all the angles, and His ways are wise and way better than our ways and way beyond our ways. So we have to have faith. We have to trust in the midst of this chaos that God is doing something. And I know for myself and many of you too, when we look back on our lives, we're able to say, man, that looked so crazy, but yet I can see how God was working. I can see the goodness of God in these situations. And it's hard to see that in the middle of the storm, but hopefully God gives us grace that when we look back, we can see, oh my gosh, like, that is amazing. Only God can bring about good things from this terrible mess. And it's true. And it's good. And He does it constantly, and He's doing that. So be encouraged as we think about these roadblocks, about these frustrations. Now, a lot of us will think about these roadblocks and we'll think maybe that the problem is we don't have enough time, or maybe it's about our age, our situation, we don't have enough knowledge. There's all these things that are stopping us from speaking about the gospel, sharing about what we know about Jesus. But that's not really what it is. The biggest thing, and this is one thing I remember from camp, is the biggest obstacle, the biggest roadblock for us to be living on mission is sin. It's our desire for sin. It's our pursuit for sin. It's the fact that we want things our way, not God's way. So we get off track. And we can see that here in this verse in Ephesians. In Ephesians 4, that verse we read a little bit beforehand, the part that's right before that, which is always helpful to read the context, the part right before that, it says, Now I testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. He's describing people that don't know Jesus, that haven't put their faith and trust in him, that don't love him. He's describing people who, at the core of who they are sinful, are rebellious. And listen to these words. And when I hear these descriptions, I'm like, yeah, that's actually my biggest problem. It's when I go back to my old ways of thinking. This is what I become. I become darkened in my understanding. I'm alienated, separated because of God, from God, because of ignorance, because I don't know, due to the hardness of my heart. My hard heart gets me in so much trouble. I'm callous, and I live for the pleasures of this world, and I'm quick to pursue after them. I'm greedy for the things that this world gives me, and I ignore and set aside the things that God gives me. The spiritual, the eternal. I settle for the temporary. Our sin is the greatest roadblock, the greatest obstacle. But the good news is that we can overcome that, that we have been empowered by the Spirit to say no to sin, to say yes to Jesus. And that's what we need to keep doing as we continue on the mission. We need to remember the good news of the gospel. Now, I'm going to ask Paige to come up. We're going to have a little bit of time of question and answer, and she's going to talk a little bit more about this day four. Here you are. Let me get out my handy-dandy note card. Now, Kyle, you're at a... Whoops, wrong side. All right. Thanks, guys, for laughing at that. Everybody else fell asleep a long time ago. Jim again? Oh, my gosh. When's a teenager going to say something good up here? All right. We're waiting on him. Paige, you're a sophomore at West.
Yeah.
Is that right? All right. And what's a good memory of camp that you have?
A good memory at camp that I have is having late-night conversations or, like, really early conversations with my roommates, whether it was, like, listening to them making whale noises or just, like, really deep conversations. And then I liked having, like, Bible study trust initiatives.
Okay. So I'm just going to let the whale thing go. All right. Okay. You can't miss a whale, apparently, you know, when you're at camp. But you mentioned Bible study trust initiatives. Can you explain a little bit about what those were?
One of them that we did, we called the portal, where we, like, had a Bible study lining up on one side of, like, this hula hoop that was, like, floating in the air because it was, like, attached to trees. And then we would, like, trust fall into their arms, and they would lift us up and, like, carry us through this hula hoop.
And your Bible study was people from all over different churches, different groups, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I thought that was really funny because at one point you were sharing with everybody, hey, we're trusting people to catch us and to hold us up, and I've known them for 5 days, you know? So that seems a little bit like, is this reality? Is this a good idea? But did anybody get dropped?
No.
All right. That's pretty good. So those were some of the trust initiatives that you had, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What were some challenges that you have? Were there any?
Starting out, it was, like, challenging meeting new people because obviously you went with, like, people that you knew all the time. And we didn't have a phone, so it was, like, difficult to, like, meet up with people and such. But, like, after a while, you got used to it and you realized that God was, like, talking to you. You realized that he was actually talking to you because you had no distractions and stuff.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that I hear you right, okay? And I want everybody else to know this, too. We have a teenage girl here saying that you were able to hear from God more because you didn't have your phone as a distraction.
Yes.
Okay. And we have it on tape, too. Look at that. Now, I think that we are moving into a time of society where it's no longer teenagers that need to remember that. I think people need to remember that as well. Okay, so thanks for teaching us about that. That's pretty awesome. All right, last question. What did you learn, or what were you reminded about Jesus while you were there?
Something that stuck out to me was, like Landon said, like you said also, God's people, God's plan, and we only have one chance to participate, which, like, really made me, like, jump out and, like, realize I need to be doing stuff, like, so that it affects other people. And he also said that we never know when we're, like, the answer to someone else's prayer, so we can't miss that opportunity to, like, that God's telling us to go to. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that idea of you only have one chance to participate really kind of shook you up a little bit. Like, whoa, I need to get moving on that. Mm-hmm. Is, I didn't ask you that, but is that part of why you said, okay, I think I'd like to share?
Yeah.
Okay.
As most people know, like, I'm not good at talking in front of people, but here I am.
You're doing great. You're doing great. So, well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for hearing that and, you know, what the Spirit's leading you to and sharing. I think people have been helped by that, you know. And you're not alone in this. You got a group. You got a church here to encourage each other. So thanks for doing that, Paige. So that day four did talk about a lot of you get one chance to participate. And that's really helpful and a good reminder is that when we are on mission, this isn't just a one-time decision. Is that really what it's about? When you talk about giving your life to Jesus, this isn't just a one-time thing. I did it, and now I'm done. And I got to check in every now and then. This isn't like getting your driver's license. You know, you get it one time, and then all you have to do is go back and make sure that you can see or not. I've heard stories where even that's not important. And you get it renewed, and then you're good to go. That's not what this is about. This is about relationship. That's why the Bible talks about coming to know Jesus. The closeness of that is supposed to be mirrored, reflected within the closeness of a marriage. You don't just say, I do, one time, and then that's it. No, every day you remember. Every day you recommit to your marriage. Every day you stay connected. Every day you relate to each other. Every day, those vows that you said, you work towards keeping and maintaining those vows. Having a loving relationship. Getting to know and help the person that you're with. That's the image. That's why marriage should be understood rightly. And the seriousness of it. Because it reflects the way that Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. So as we go through the mission, we continue on the mission, the Bible talks about it, the Christian life, as running a race. Let me just read to you what Hebrews 12 says. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, which I know some of our women focused on and memorized a while ago at a retreat. I only know that because my wife was involved in it, not because I was there. Okay, so I'm going to clarify that. But just let me read to you. It says, therefore, in light of all of what happened in chapter 11, all these great people that the Bible recorded who have great faith, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Did you see what happened here? It says, let us lay aside all that sin. Remember, the biggest obstacle for us to get closer to God is our sin, and we need to continue to set that aside. Continue to push that aside. Continue to believe that those things are not really good for us, but what Jesus has for us is better. It's continually pursuing Him, which is why it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Continuing in the mission, continuing the Christian life, is really just reminding ourselves of the things that we did at the beginning. Saying no to sin, saying yes to Jesus. Not focusing on ourselves and what we have done or not done, but focusing on Jesus and who He is and what He has done. This, how we get into a relationship with Jesus, is how we stay in a relationship with Jesus. We have to continue to say, I need You. I need Your grace. We continue to follow Him. We continue to say, I blew it. I messed up. This is where I failed. Will You please forgive me? And He continues to forgive us and bring us closer. We continue to understand and identify that God is our Father and He sees us as children and that we won't be kicked out of the family. Instead, He says, look, this is what I want best for you. So let me tell you a little bit about what happened wrong here and let's see if we can go forward and improve so that your life will be better. That's what it talks about. With endurance, let us run the race. This isn't us earning something. This is Jesus saying, look, here is a path to life. This is the way to reconnect to God. I've already made a way. Jesus says, I am the way. Follow me. Just keep following me. So it's about us finishing strong. It's about us getting to know Jesus more and more. Continuing in the mission is reminding ourselves and reminding others about the good news of Jesus. The freedom, the forgiveness, the life, the grace, the mercy. And the detriment, the difficulties, the challenges, and the perseverance, the endurance that everything is not solved right away, but we are forgiven and cleansed and made new instantly when we trust him. And it takes a lifetime for that to work out because of God's perfect timing, but we continue to believe. We continue to love. And the challenge in continuing on this mission is that we get distracted. And that's what day five is talking about, is we need to remember the mission. We need to remember what the mission is. And this is why Jesus, at the end of his time on earth, reminded and was so clear with the disciples about what they should be focused on. And this isn't the only thing, but this is one thing he talked about. In Matthew 28, it's going to sound a lot like what we looked at the beginning on Acts 1:8. Matthew 28, 16. This is at the end. Matthew's talking about the last things that Jesus has spoken on earth to his disciples. It says, when the 11 went to Galilee, to the mount which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. What an encouraging verse. There are people that were doubting, but that doubt didn't prevent them from going to the mountain and worshipping him and seeing the resurrected Christ. Faith and doubt are not opposites. It's a scale. If you have doubt, you can have a lot of faith. And that doubt doesn't have to prevent you from not seeing Jesus. So if you have doubt, you just have doubts. Be like these disciples that even in their doubts, they were moving towards Jesus. They were still seeking after him. They were saying, I need help with this. They weren't running from him. They were going to him. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Jesus is always with us. There's no qualifier there. Behold, I'm always with you as long as you pray enough. Behold, I'm with you as long as you go to church. There's nothing. Behold, I'm always with you. When you trust in me, then I connect with you, and that is a relationship that can never be broken. Never be broken. And he says, this that changes you, spread this out. Go and make disciples, make students, make learners, make people who are followers of Jesus, near and far. Go to them and teach them to observe, not just to watch, but to like fulfill, to look. That's why the NIV talks about to do. There's all these things that Jesus has told us to be part of that connects us with God, that's good for us and reflects God's wisdom and his glory and his grace. And he says, go teach people about that. And we can get all tracked down and get bogged down in the details. And those things are important, but it's helpful to take a step back and think, okay, what is it really that Jesus wants us to do? Have you ever thought, like, what's God's will for my life? And you're trying to figure out all these things. Should I buy the blue car or the red car? Should I go to the Cardinals game or to the Blues game? I got tickets to both. I don't know what the thing is, you know. Like, we get all bogged down in these details, but we need to zoom out and remember what the clear command is, what God really wants us to do. And we can see this in Matthew 22. Matthew 22:34. Let me just read through this. It says, the Pharisees heard he had silenced the Sadducees, and they gathered together. Okay, so there's a religious discussion going on, and people are trying to trick Jesus and trap him into saying something they don't like, so they have the justification to put him to death or kick him out or to discredit him. So that's what's happening. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Okay, so this is a trap. This isn't learning for knowledge. They're trying to trick Jesus. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Of all the things that's written in the Bible, all the things that God's ever said, what is the single greatest thing that we should do? How would you answer that question? How would you answer that question? Because in many ways, our lives reflect the way we answer that question. Let's see how Jesus answers that question. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. When asked, what's the greatest thing? What's the one thing? If I have to keep one commandment, if I have to do one thing, what is it that I need to make sure that I'm doing? Jesus says, love God, love other people. They're connected. Everything else can be connected back to loving God, loving people. So as we think about the mission and sharing the good news with people, we think about making disciples. Let's make sure that we're remembering to love God and to love other people. I hope that you've been challenged. I hope you've been inspired. I hope there have been people in your mind that you're thinking, man, I need to share Jesus. I need to talk to them about Jesus. Let's do it wisely. Let's not be a Jesus bully that just wants to talk and talk and talk and talk. No, let's be people who listen lovingly, who care about people, not just about getting our points across. Let's look for timing. Let's pray and pray and pray and pray for supernatural opportunities. Let's not just wait for natural opportunities. Let's pray and ask God, God, would you open up an opportunity here? I think all opportunities are supernatural opportunities. And we get them more as we pray and ask God, please, will you give me an opportunity to talk about Jesus in a way that's kind and loving and respectful, but it's also bold and clear, because I'm afraid, so I need some help. But I want these people to know the truth about you because you have done so much for me. Let us pray and be encouraged that way. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a closing song, and I'm going to ask Teresa and the band to come up, and the students, you guys, are going to come up here and help us with this last song. Am I right? I just work here. I really don't know what's going on. Is that the plan? I think we're good? Okay, good. And here's what I want to do. As you sing through this song, as we worship, then pray these words on the song. Sing them. If you don't know the song, then, you know, just hum along or try it. You know, we're not grading anybody here. There's no recruitment process, no record contract, okay? You're not going to have to worry about any of that. But as you're singing and as you're looking through those words, then I encourage you to make it a prayer. Make it a prayer. Tell God that you want to be out. You need courage. You need help. You need boldness. But you want to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, because of who he is and what he's done for you. And because you know people that need Jesus. So pray for wisdom and ask him to show the freedom, the forgiveness, and that relationship. It's only found by having faith in Jesus. Let me pray, and then we'll sing this closing song. Jesus, thank you so much for the gospel. Thank you that you came proclaiming it, that you demonstrated it, and thank you that you sent your Spirit to empower us. God, we love you. And we want other people to know and love you because of how good you are and all the changes you've made in our lives. We found hope and joy. So give us wisdom. We pray for opportunities. I pray in the upcoming week that we would just keep asking you, please, let us have opportunities. And when those are there, let us be gentle. Let us be loving. Let us be bold. Let us be clear. Let us talk about Jesus. And we just thank you that you promised to be there with us in those moments. Let us do it because of love, because we love you, because you first loved us, and you love these people, and you want to help them. Thank you so much that you are a God of love. So we ask it in your name. Amen.